Hello and welcome to Trauma 101. I am Dr. Dennis Huffington, the founder and executive director of Care Classroom and the creator of Trauma 101. I hope that you find the information provided to be helpful, impactful, and empowering for you. Professional development in trauma-informed care and classrooms is an approach to education that addresses multiple converging issues facing educators and leaders. Trauma is linked to developmental delays in children and has been linked to secondary traumatic stress in teachers who teach children who have traumatic stress. A study conducted found 50% of school personnel exhibited signs of secondary traumatic stress. Secondary traumatic stress is referred to as vicarious trauma and has been linked to turnover in child welfare professionals. It has been concluded that trauma is a significant health problem in the United States. While widespread, there are populations of children who are more at risk than others, including children living in poverty. The body of literature about teachers in schools with high concentrations of poverty continues to expand and provides various perspectives on what is demanded and needed of teachers in schools with a high concentration of poverty. But the research does not focus on the relationship between poverty and trauma, but rather views the challenges in the context of socioeconomic status, working conditions, and school climate. Poverty is not considered a form of trauma, but the conditions linked to poverty increase the likelihood of experiencing trauma. Effective leadership in schools with high concentrations of poverty align with leadership styles in trauma-informed schools. The incidence of trauma and the effects it has on both the student and teacher populations is a systemic issue in education that demands continued investigation. The study of trauma has evolved from a study of common responses after major catastrophes to encompass the study of events that threaten our sense of safety. Trauma was originally researched by physicians seeking to understand the effects of trauma on mental health. The term post-traumatic stress disorder was entered into the DSM-3 in the 1970s, following studies conducted around the ongoing psychological needs of combat soldiers returning from the Vietnam War. Similar studies were conducted following World War II, when soldiers returned home traumatized from combat and the horrors of the Holocaust. The diagnosis of PTSD only addressed the symptoms of post-traumatic stress that occurred directly following a single traumatic event, but did not address or encompass the existence of psychosocial stressors that occurred during earlier developmental stages in childhood, nor did the diagnosis address the ability to function in one's life or the long-term effects of the trauma. Judith Lewis Herman suggested the term complex PTSD to encompass the antecedent childhood experiences that impacted adult women with borderline personality disorder. In Trauma and Recovery, Herman proposed naming complex post-traumatic stress disorder to account for individuals who had experienced prolonged psychological trauma. Herman acknowledged the need to recognize a disorder caused others to create names. After writing a book about father and daughter incest, Judith Lewis Herman continued to study the occurrence of incest and other childhood trauma. Herman looked into personality disorders and the link to childhood trauma. Herman felt it necessary to find additional ways to classify cases of trauma as opposed to the practice of linking trauma to a single event. While numerous studies on the effect of childhood abuse had been conducted by sociologists and psychologists, it was not until the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and Kaiser Permanente conducted a study from 1995 to 1997 that found trauma was linked to medical and public health problems. The study found more than two-thirds of the participants in the study reported at least one ACE, and more than 1 in 5 reported 3 or more ACEs, establishing that adverse childhood experiences are indeed common. The study released data on the health and behaviors of the participants and correlated the prevalence of ACEs with drug use, alcohol use, poor health, and negative well-being outcomes. The findings of the CDC Kaiser study provided evidence that childhood trauma had a lasting effect. The National Child Traumatic Stress Network now uses a definition of trauma in relation to children that encompasses a wide range of experiences. Childhood trauma is any event that poses a threat to the security of a child or their attachment figures. Trauma leads to high levels of damaging stress during real or perceived threats or life-altering experiences. Childhood trauma may result from a short-term or single event or can develop as part of multiple exposures over an extended period of time. Multiple exposures or exposure to multiple forms or types of trauma is referred to as complex trauma. A single incident is referred to as an acute stressor, while recurring incidents are referred to as chronic stressors. The result of the exposure causes response systems from the brain and body to continually be activated, creating toxic stress. Herman cited Lenore Tur as an early example of a clinician distinguishing trauma into two types, type 1 and type 2. Type 1 traumas are single incident traumas or singular events. Type 2 traumas are prolonged or repeated traumas aligning with the definition of childhood trauma. Herman called for the diagnosis of complex post-traumatic stress disorder to name type 2 traumas. The various forms of trauma can be categorized into four categories: intrapersonal, interpersonal, familial dysfunction, and non-domestic. Whether real or perceived, trauma can have the same effect on the development of a child. Children can have a traumatic response to an act of omission as well as an act of commission. The National Child Traumatic Stress Network identified the following types of events as trauma: sexual abuse or assault, physical abuse or assault, emotional abuse or psychological maltreatment, neglect, serious accident, illness or medical procedure, victim or witness to domestic violence, victim or witness to community violence, historical trauma, school violence, bullying, natural or man-made disasters, forced displacement, war, terrorism or political violence, military trauma, victim or witness to extreme personal or interpersonal violence, traumatic grief or separation, and system-induced trauma and re-traumatization. The study conducted by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and Kaiser Permanente was a landmark investigation that linked health and well-being to abuse during the study, with over 17,000 participants completing surveys. The findings showed childhood trauma was more prevalent than previously known and could occur within any socioeconomic status. 2/3 of the participants in the A study indicated experiencing an adverse childhood experience. There is often a misconception that trauma occurs more in urban or lower income populations. However, the original A study was conducted with the majority white, highly educated, middle class group of participants, highlighting the prevalence of trauma. It is estimated 26% of children will have traumatic experiences or witness a traumatic event by the age of 4. Data from the National Child Traumatic Stress Network indicated 1 in 4 children who attend school have experienced a traumatic event. Minority youth or children who live in economically disadvantaged areas have a higher likelihood of experiencing trauma. Woodbridge found males reported significantly higher traumatic experiences than females, and Black, Latino, and Native American males reported significantly higher traumatic experiences than their white counterparts. Traumatic stress in minority populations can be linked to discrimination and perceived discrimination experienced. Historical or transgenerational trauma is a secondary trauma internalized by members of a population subjected to trauma throughout history. Trauma can be passed to the next generation through stories, oral history from family history, or through written history. Children of immigrants are susceptible to mental health issues related to the immigration experience, even though they did not directly experience a trauma. The process of migration creates experiences of mourning and separation that can alter the psychology of migration. Immigrants may find themselves trying to navigate the development of their self-identity based on elements of the culture they left behind and the culture to which they have migrated. The factors that led to migration as well as the outcomes following migration may both be traumatic. The circumstances that led to migration must be considered and the effects on mental health. The pressures to assimilate and the pressures associated with assimilation may influence the mental health of immigrants. The mental health issues faced by immigrant populations may not end upon migration to a new country. The added pressures of acculturation and assimilation can be traumatic in their own right and serve to exacerbate other challenges to mental health. Trauma exposure has been linked to the development of mental health disorders. Post-traumatic stress disorder and clinical depression are the most closely associated disorders linked to trauma. In addition to PTSD and depression, trauma exposure is linked to other mental health domains, including risky sexual behavior, sleep difficulties, and substance abuse. Taking into consideration the relationship between trauma exposure and mental health, immigrant populations are at a high risk for development of mental illness and a high-need population for therapy. There is a growing body of research dedicated to uncovering the traumas associated specifically to in-transit migration, but trauma exposure often occurs prior to the migration process. Before considering the effects of immigration policy and the traumas caused by these policies, the already known traumas associated with immigration must be considered. According to Foster, immigrants face trauma before the migration process, during the migration, and upon arrival to the new country. The new country can be a hostile environment for an immigrant. Immigration policies and rhetoric can be linked to discrimination, microaggressions, and increased difficulty for immigrants entering a new country. While research shows immigrants contribute to the economy and do not contribute to the increase of crime, there is still a growing anti-immigrant sentiment in sections of American society. As anti-immigrant rhetoric and restrictive immigration policies have been placed in our national political conversation, studying the effects on the immigrant population has become critical. Clinicians, mental health professionals, and individuals who work with immigrant populations are faced with providing treatment and services to a community where the impact of immigration trauma is still being researched. Immigrant communities face stressors that develop as a result of their immigrant status. Real or perceived discrimination, combined with the pressures to assimilate, and avoiding adhering to stereotypes while trying to conform to one's own culture have been identified as stressors among immigrant communities, particularly youth. According to French and Chavez, the aforementioned stressors foster a dynamic of vulnerability and uncertainty consistent with definitions of traumatic stress. Thank you for tuning in to the Trauma 101 podcast. Be sure to check out all 8 modules and visit www.careclassroom.org to access all Trauma 101 modules, assessments, more information, and much more.